Well, good morning. I hope you're doing well this morning. Like the video said, if you're a guest, brought a guest, we're glad that you're here. And if you'll fill out that communication card and stop by the tables in the back, somebody would be happy to meet you and give you a gift just to say thanks for being with us here this morning. I want to welcome those of you who are watching online. We're glad you're watching. I want to invite you to come, and if you live in DeSoto County, to be a part of our services at 9 or 10:30 if you've never done that. But we're glad you're tuning in this morning. So we're continuing our Generosity Rockstar series, and we're into the third part this morning, and we're going to talk about money. Woohoo! Now that we've gotten your attention, you know, we talk about money at church, sometimes people go, oh, no. And some people get really excited. Other people are like, why did we come? But we're going to have a good time this morning. And we're going to start off, we're going to look at some teachings of Jesus. But we're going to start off with another source of inspiration and wisdom this morning. Just to kind of have some fun with money, and that is the Minions. I'm not kidding. Let's look at a picture. Come to these guys, what these guys have to say. There's this one. I have everything in my purse you could possibly imagine, except money. The next one. Money doesn't solve all problems, but it could solve my money problems. Amen to that one. Yeah, next one. The only exercise I've done this month, running out of money. I have definitely can relate to that one. Last one, one more. When I was a baby, an evil fairy cursed me with expensive taste and no money. So we all have this sort of thing with money, and it's something that we dread. Some of us dread. Some of you, when you think about the idea of your money, you're like, no. And others, it's like money, no big deal, got plenty of that, we do what we need to do. And money is something that the Bible talks a lot about. In fact, Jesus teaches more about money than he does heaven and hell combined. And that's startling when you think about it, that the king of the universe came to be a man, and the main thing he teaches about is money. And we're going to see why this morning. And here's something I want you to remember when it comes to money, and this is often a misconception and things that get thrown around out there, is that the church just wants my money. And that is not true. God doesn't want your money. God doesn't need your money. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. The last thing he needs is a dollar out of your wallet. But God does want something for you. And the way it can happen is through your money. And the church, we want something for you. And just like God teaches, the way it can happen is through your money. So let's talk about this subject. So often when it comes to our money, we get our priorities a little upside down from what God teaches. And here's often what our priorities tend to be. These are the top five priorities that we tend to have with our money. Number one, spend it. It just burns a hole in our pockets. It's got to, as soon as it comes in, or even before it comes in, it's already heading out the door, spending on something. Secondly, we pay bills, hopefully. We cross our fingers. Hopefully there's not going to be an unexpected bill this month that's going to roll in and really throw our whole thing off. Third, repay debt, maybe. Or we'll just ignore it and act like it's not there until they tell us we can't ignore it anymore. Fourth, maybe we'll save, hopefully. A lot of us, we're in the boat of we're doing good to do the first two. Forget the fourth one. Saving? No way that's ever going to happen. And then fifth, if we happen to have anything left over after we've done all of these other things and we feel like it, well, let's give a little bit. And God comes along and he teaches his word, and Jesus comes and Jesus takes our priorities as he always does and completely flips them upside down. In fact, here's God's priorities when it comes to what we do with his money that he gives us in his life. First, we give. And we'll talk about why that is. That God says, look, giving must be first when it comes to how you manage the money that I give you in your life. And then secondly, we save, because saving is important. Saving helps us be free from the anxiety and the worry of what money, or the lack thereof, will do in our lives. Third, we get out of debt. God wants you to be out of debt because he teaches in his word that the borrower is a slave to the lender. God does not want you to be a slave to anyone. He wants you out of debt and to be free from any chains that will hold you back on this front. Fourth, pay your bills. Pay your bills. Honor your obligations. And then fifth, spend. And so God's priorities are exactly opposite of ours. But these are the ways. God says, look, if you will manage your money with these priorities, it becomes much easier to see all five of them happen. Whereas if we do it the way we want to do it, where we spend and pay bills, sometimes we're lucky if we can do the first two of spending and paying bills. But God says, if you will turn your priorities into the way and flip them around, I think you're going to see something in your life. Because look, God doesn't want something from you. He wants something for you. Because here's what he teaches in his word. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, and we're going to put these on the screen. As we read this, the words in yellow, you guys read them along with me. Here's what God says. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. Here's what God is telling you this morning. You can't outgive him. Amen? You can't outgive him. You can't do more than what God wants to do in your life. Now, I want you to understand, just because you start giving doesn't mean you're going to be a millionaire. That's not what God teaches. Because that's not giving. That's just giving back to yourself if you come into it with that mentality. But God says, look, you trust me with a dime out of a dollar, you're going to see something happen in your life that you've never seen happen before because you can't outgive God. Look, God doesn't need anything from you when it comes to finances, but he wants something for you, and you can't outgive him. And that's something to celebrate this morning, that I can't outgive God. There's nothing that I can do that can overgive and can outdo what he's already doing and has done in my life. And my giving is just a response to what I believe he is doing in my life. And you can't outgive him. Man, he's got so much good stuff that he wants to pour into your life. And you can't outdo him. But when it comes to these priorities and getting our priorities in the right order so that we can begin to see this happen. I mean, look, imagine this. I want you to imagine with me, if this is not already your reality. Imagine if you live by God's priorities and over time, maybe a year from now, you could sit and say, I have 3 to 6 months living expenses saved up. $10,000 to $20,000 just sitting in the bank waving at you saying, hello, I'm here when you need me. How many of you would take that right now? You'd be like, don't raise your hand. You don't have to raise your hand. But how many of you would just be like, yes, please? Because look, when you've got that there, then all of life's worries just seem a lot smaller, don't they? Then when the car breaks down, like mine did twice this week, Pastor Chris literally had to come pick me up twice this week. He got so bad, he texted me on by Thursday and said, where do you need me to pick you up today? But when you've got that saved up, when the car breaks down, all you've got is a car problem, not a car problem and a money problem. When the refrigerator breaks, you've got a fridge problem, but not a money problem. And on it could go because, look, we live in homes and things are going to need replacing. Things are going to break. Things are going to break down. Your children are going to break things like bones sometimes. And you don't need a money problem on top of everything else. And God says there's a way we can avoid all of that. But we've got to get his priorities in our life. And it's going to take more than good intentions this morning. And this is important. You need to know this. If you walk out of here and say, man, I'm going to try to do my best, it's going to take more than that. It's going to take more than just saying, I'm going to do it. I'm going to try. I'm going to do my... The road to poverty is paved with good intentions. It just is. You can intend to do the best you can do. But the road to poverty is paved with those intentions. You've got to take action and steps and put those steps into place. And I'll tell you what those are here in just a minute. But let's look at the teaching of Jesus first. This is where we want to go. We want to understand what Jesus teaches because, like I said, he taught more about this subject of money and how we're supposed to manage God's money that he puts in our life than heaven and hell combined. So let's look at one of the primary teachings in Matthew chapter 6. And again, the words will be on the screen. And when we hit the yellow words, you guys help me out and read them along with me. Here's what he teaches. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. It's frustrating, isn't it, when somebody steals your money? I talked to someone this morning who's was dealing with the bank this past weekend because somebody in California got their debit card number. Man, it's frustrating. Thieves are crafty and creative in taking our money that God has given us and that we've earned. Verse 20, Jesus says, instead, store up treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. It's pretty clear, pretty simple. And here's the principle that Jesus wants to communicate to you this morning. Verse 21, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also, or also be. And so Jesus says, look, if you build your wealth for this life alone, you are missing the big picture, the eternal picture of what God wants to do with the money that he has put into your life. And God has a great plan for it and a glorious plan and an eternal plan. But we've got to get our priorities to match God's priorities or else we never see this plan come to fruition. I mean, let me ask you, when you think about money and money here on earth, do you ever feel like your money sprouts wings and flies away? Like you go to put your ATM in the car to get $20 to eat lunch with your buddies that day, and the ATM essentially says, your money flew away this week, and you don't have enough this week, so tell your friends you'll see them next week, maybe, if it doesn't fly away next week. You know why your money feels like it flies away? Because that's what God says it does. This won't be on the screen, but let me read it to you. Proverbs 23:5, God says, cast but a glance at riches, and they are gone. The moment you look at them, they disappear. Why? For they surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. I mean, God says, your money's gonna sprout wings and fly off if you make it your priority. And what you live for is building wealth on this earth. And so Jesus is delivering a teaching this morning that is a warning saying, look, if all you live for is just these years that you have on this earth, you are missing some of the greatest investment opportunities you have to invest in what God wants to do in your life throughout eternity. And that's important. Look, you and I have knowledge of an event, the second coming of Christ, that Christ will return one day. That gives us a knowledge that, look, what happens in this life will matter in eternity, but what happens in this life is not all that matters. In fact, it's not what is most important. What is most important is what's going to happen in eternity. And what Jesus is teaching is, look, if you build all of your wealth up for this life alone, the stuff that you're going to have when you get to heaven is not going to be worth anything. My kids like Incredible Pizza, and we go there for their birthdays. Now, this year, they've decided they want to go to Main Event instead. They said it's grown up. We've graduated. But in the past years, they've gone to Incredible Pizza. And you know, when you go to Incredible Pizza, they give you, when you go back to the arcade area, you've got this cup full of tokens. And man, you can spend those tokens in all ways, shapes, and forms and get tickets, and you get all those tickets, and then you take those tickets to the counter, and you know, you gotta have, you know, 5,000 tickets to get anything worth anything, but you take those tickets, and they take those tickets and give you stuff. And so these tokens and these tickets, man, they're worth a lot of stuff in Incredible Pizza. But imagine if my kids took those tokens and those tickets and walked over to Walmart and said, I want to buy a video game. And they said, okay, it'll be $50. And my son hands them a cup of tokens worth $50. They're going to look at him and say, this is worthless, crazy person. You need to go back to Incredible Pizza because this stuff is not worth anything here. It's worth something over there, but nothing here. Church, listen, if all we're doing is building up wealth here, that's essentially what Jesus is teaching us here, is that the wealth we're building here just to have it here, when we get to heaven, it's like taking a cup full of tokens from Incredible Pizza to Walmart and thinking we're rich when we're poor. And so Jesus is saying, look, you want to be rich in life, be rich in eternity. Invest in your eternity. And Jesus is teaching the principle of what was called delayed gratification. Now, that's not an idea that we like a lot, but that's essentially what he's saying. You invest in God's kingdom, and there is a reward coming, and it's an eternal reward, but you might not see it this afternoon, but it will come. As sure as the sun will rise tomorrow, the day will come when that investment will give us a return. And you know, when you go meet a financial advisor, they always tell you, look, don't think 3 years from now. That's not wise. Think 30 years from now. That's the wise thing to do. Jesus is giving us a principle here that is the wisest investment principle you will ever get. Because Jesus doesn't tell you, think 30 years in the future. Jesus tells you, think 30 million years into the future. Because what's going to matter 100 years from now? The only thing that's going to matter 100 years from now or 30 million years from now is what did you do with what Jesus asked you to do. That's all that's going to matter. Everything else is just, it's not going to matter. But what's going to matter is, did I follow Jesus with my life? That is the greatest investment opportunity you've got. Now, here's the principle boiled down into a statement, our big idea. When it comes to our money, I can't take it with me, but I can send it ahead. This is what Randy Alcorn in his book, The Treasure Principle, this is what he calls the treasure principle. That you, with your money, you will never be able to transfer your money from here to eternity. But you can invest it in a way where you can send it ahead. And it will be there, just as Jesus teaches here. You can store up treasure for yourself in heaven. You can have a return on your investment, the likes of which you will never ever see in this earth, if you apply the principles that Jesus teaches here. But here's the question, and let's just put this question out there. Why should we listen to Jesus here? I mean, we love Jesus. In our church, man, we talk about him, real Jesus, the real Jesus, as he defines himself. We love him. Everything we do is about him. And we love his teaching. Let me give you a few examples of the teaching that we love. We love the fact that Jesus says, I come to give you life and life in abundance. Man, amen. I want life and I want life in abundance. We love the fact that Jesus teaches that, look, no man comes to the Father except through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Man, amen. Jesus is awesome. He's wonderful. He's amazing. We love the fact that Jesus says, whoever believes in me will have eternal life. Amen. Jesus, you are awesome. You are amazing. And then we come to the fact that Jesus says, what you do with your money helps you and the rest of the world understand what you believe about me. Whoa. Jesus, let's not get radical here. Calm down just a little bit. And that's not what Jesus is going to do. He's very straightforward. Why? It's not because he's concerned about your money. Jesus is not concerned about how much you have or don't have. But what he is concerned about is what your money is attached to. And that is your heart. And that is what he teaches right here. Wherever your money is, there is your heart. And Jesus is saying, look, if I were to look at your budget, or if you don't do a budget, which is something you need to change, if I were to look at your checking account, I could look at it and say, there is your heart, there is your heart, and there is your heart. The question is your heart invested in eternity or not? And it's very simple. I mean, Jesus is not making, you know, something that's a mystery here or complex. It's very, very simple. Is your heart, through your money, invested in eternity, or is it not? That's the simple question. So, a couple of things that Jesus teaches here when it comes to this treasure principle. Number one is, it starts with my heart. Like I said, Jesus is not concerned with your money. He's concerned with your heart. And he wants your heart to be invested in eternity. Not just in this life only. And so he teaches very clearly where your treasure is, where your money is, there your heart's going to be. Notice that's important because Jesus, he doesn't teach wherever you volunteer in life, that's where your heart is. That's not what he teaches. He doesn't teach wherever you spend the most time in your life, that's where your heart is. That's not what he teaches. He doesn't teach whatever your favorite ball team is, that's where your heart is. That's not what he teaches. Wherever your wallet is, that is where your heart is. Your heart follows your wallet. And it's not if it does, it does. I mean, Jesus doesn't say it might or it could or it will. He just says it does, period. Which means Jesus wants to teach you about your heart. The quickest, one of the quickest ways he can do that is through our money. And our money can reveal more about us than sometimes we are willing to reveal. My mom just bought a little dog. He's a few months old now, and he's the awesomest little guy. He's a Dachshund. Like I told you, Dachshunds, they got the heart of a lion and the body of a mouse. They're little. He weighs 3 pounds, and he thinks he weighs, 130 pounds. But he follows my mom around everywhere. He is so amazing. He's awesome. I love the little guy. I think I'm going to take him one day. But anyway, he follows my mom everywhere. She's got a place. She stays at my brother's house, and she's got her own little space up in the upstairs of his house. And when she goes up the stairs, you can hear those little toenails on that hardwood on those hardwood stairs going up those stairs following her. And when she comes downstairs, you hear those same little toenails going back down those stairs, taking every step that she takes. When she goes outside, if she doesn't hold the door open and let him come out with her, then he is slamming all 3 pounds of his body up into that door, trying to get it to open, because he follows her around. And it's just like the expression that we say, he follows her around just like a little puppy dog. And he does. He loves to just follow her around and be where she is. My friends, your heart does the same thing with your money. Your heart follows your money everywhere. And it's an inevitable fact. And Jesus is deeply concerned about your heart. And so he says, look, if you want to know, if you're confused, like, I don't know what the condition of my heart is, quickest way to find out, where is your money? Because where your money is, there your heart is also. The second thing that Jesus talks about, when it comes to our hearts, one of the biggest things that we deal with is greed. And Jesus teaches us here that giving cures greed. It cures it. It is the cure to greed. If you want to stop being a greedy person, you want to stop feeling like a greedy person, give. Invest in something eternal, not just in something temporary. Because greed is a cancer that eats away at our hearts. Hebrews 13:5 says it like this. It says, don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you, and I will never abandon you. The reason greed is like a cancer that eats away at our hearts is because it is a declaration to my own life and to those around me that I don't trust God. And that's essentially what this is saying. If I say, look, I can't trust God with my money, I've got to save it, I've got to hoard it, I've got to build up treasure on this earth for me, it is essentially saying that I can't trust God to come through with what Jesus teaches here, that if I invest in eternity, that there is a reward that I can build up. And so don't love money or the stuff that it can give us, because a greedy heart is counter to faith in Jesus. How do you know if you have a greedy heart? Look, in all my years of being a pastor, I've been a pastor now for about 12, 13 years, and I've counseled a lot of people, students, adults, younger folks, older folks. You want to know who I've never met? I have never had anybody come to me and say, Pastor, I need help because I'm greedy. Nobody's greedy. Everybody else is, but I'm not. I mean, look, I'm not going to get on the political bandwagon here, but you see it all the time in the news, don't you? The poor say it's the wealthy's problem. The wealthy say, nope, it's the poor's problem. Everybody else is the problem when it comes to greed. Greed is one of those things that just sort of hides in the dark and says, you're not greedy, don't worry about it. That's their fault. That's your problem. That's not their problem. That's their problem, not yours. And here's the thing with greed. It doesn't matter how much you have. Wealthy people can be greedy, and so can very poor people. Because greed is a condition of the heart, not the condition of your wallet or your bank account. You see it all the time. And so Jesus is blunt and to the point. And he says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And he teaches. You want to cure greed. You want to get rid of greed enough. You want to stop building up treasure in this life and start building up treasure in heaven. And here's what's so amazing. If you go online and do a search, about the cure for greed, and you read several articles. I read an article on psychologytoday.com, and they talks about greed and the power of greed and the evil things that greed can do in our lives. And one of the main things that it says can cure greed is to give. I mean, just a normal cultural article has come to the terms, wow, Jesus knew what he was talking about. Giving can break the power of greed in your life. Because when it comes to your money, look, you can't send it. You can't transfer it from here to heaven, but you can send it ahead. You can invest in God's kingdom and store up treasure in heaven. So how do you do it? Let me give you your rock star step for this week towards being a generosity rock star. Develop a plan to get my finances in the right priority. Look, this is not complicated. It's not hard. I don't want it to be any more complicated than that. Develop a plan. So I'm going to give you four steps to kind of develop this plan of how you can begin to rearrange your priorities and begin to get God's priorities active in your life and begin to see things like Proverbs 3, where you can't outgive God, begin to come true in your own life. And I want you to understand, this plan, I don't think it's mine. I think it's clearly taught in the Bible. Let me show you where. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, here's what the Apostle Paul, he's teaching a church who is building up a collection for God's kingdom, for another church that is active in the area. And Paul says this when it comes to collecting that offering. On the first day of each week, you should each, that means everybody, put aside a portion of the money you have earned. And don't wait until I get there and then try to collect it all at once. And so they've got this church in the area. It's a church in Jerusalem that they're raising a collection for because the church in Jerusalem is struggling financially. And they want to see God's kingdom continue to expand. And so that's what they want to see happen, is God's work continue to move. They're bringing the treasure principle to life. I can't transfer it, but I can send it on ahead. So what do they do? First thing I would encourage you to do is establish goals in your life. Establish some financial goals. And that's what they do. They've got a goal. We want to help this church continue to move forward. Paul doesn't tell us how much, but they just have that goal. So establish goals in your life. What do you want to see happen in the money that God has given you? So if you're married, here's what I would encourage you to do. If you're married, go on a date. Men, if you don't take your wife on a date, shame on you. Take her on a date. Get a babysitter. Take her out and have this conversation. What do we want to see happen in our finances? What would it look like for us to be able to save 3 to 6 months living expenses? What do we want to see happen? How do we want to invest, not just in 30 years, but in 30 million years from now? Shay and I did this a few months ago. We had conversations about how we wanted to, what goals that we had in order to see God work in our finances and in our life. Let me tell you, when you do this, it is awesome because it gives you a framework that really removes a lot of arguments and frustrations and disagreements when it comes to finances. Because what you're doing is you both have said, these are our goals, this is what we're shooting towards. And it gives you something that you can both talk about without talking at one another. And so like for Shay and I, we're having a conversation right now of whether or not it's going to help us to sell our home in Hernando and move to a different place in Hernando. Whether or not that's going to be financially helpful for us in order to take the next step towards reaching our goals. The only way we can have that conversation without saying, well, this is what I want to do, and this is what I want to do, and then the two wants tend to fight, is we have these goals. Well, how is this going to help us reach this goal and reach this goal and on down the list? And if it doesn't, then the conversation is much, much easier. So establish some goals. What do you want to see God do in your finances, in your life? The second thing that the Apostle Paul teaches is regular giving. Regular. Make it regular. He teaches on the first day of each week. That's regular. It's not haphazard. It's not sporadic. It's not when I've got a little bit left over. It happens on the first day of each week. Remember, Proverbs 3, God says, give the best of your wealth. That doesn't mean what's left over. That doesn't mean you trim off all the fat and just throw that to the side, and if you got that even left over, you give it to God. No, we don't tip God. We honor God. So, do it regularly. How are you going to break the habit of greed in your life? You're going to develop a habit of giving in your life. The third thing is percentage giving. Notice what the apostle says. He says, you should put aside, each of you put aside a portion. The best way for you and I to understand that idea of putting aside a portion is percentage giving. That I give a percentage of what I have earned. So let's talk about percentage giving, because I know there's a lot of sometimes confusion out there, and I want to help clarify it just a little bit. In the Old Testament, the Bible teaches, and God says, give the tithe to the Lord. That's 10%. And everybody in Israel was to obey that and to do that. Now, I know, and you probably know, and you may have read like on Facebook or blogs or whatever, that the New Testament does not teach the tithe. And here's what I think the New Testament teaches. Because this is what often happens. People say, well, you know, the New Testament doesn't teach the tithe. So I, you know, 10% is sort of whatever. You want to know what the New Testament teaches? Sacrificial giving. And I think Jesus expects the tithe and more. Because that's sacrifice. Think about the widow that he saw give. The widow's mite. Jesus said she gave sacrificially because she gave out of her poverty. He basically said, look, she didn't have anything to give, and yet she still gave. That's the heart that Jesus wants. That's the heart he wants to see. So my friends, look, let's not have legalistic discussions about, oh, we don't have to do 10% because the New Testament doesn't teach 10%. Look, if you want to talk about the New Testament, let's talk about it. It says sacrificial, which means at least, I would argue, 10%. Now, when it comes to 10%, God says, if you don't give your tithe, at least your tithe, you are robbing God. Because I've had conversations with people when it comes to their finances and trying to help them get their finances in order. And they'll say, look, let us just start with 1% or 2% or 5%. That's all we can afford right now is 5%. Okay, well, let's take that idea and take the idea of robbing God. And let's think about this. Let's say you're robbing 10 banks a week. You got to stop. I can't really afford to stop. I'll just cut back to 5. You're still robbing 5 banks. That's still robbing. That's what God is teaching. Obey me in this and see if I will not open up the floodgates of heaven. You can't outgive him. When God says give sacrificially, I'm going to show you in a moment because it's because of what he's already poured into your life. And when we give sacrificially, it shows us and the world around us that we believe God is a sacrificial giving God. So give regularly. Give percentage. And I would encourage you at least no less than 10% according to God's word. Fourth, have discipline and accountability. See what the Apostle Paul teaches here? Each week, that's discipline. You do it regularly. That's discipline. And it takes, Proverbs teaches that it takes discipline in order to see God's promises come to fruition in our life. But he also says, don't wait until I get there. So it means basically, look, bring it and don't wait, but hold each other accountable to this. Each one of you is to hold each other accountable in this. And don't wait till Paul shows up. So have financial discipline and have accountability. So if you're married, hold each other accountable. Get on a budget. Agree on the budget. Have some goals. Agree on those goals. Hold each other accountable. If you can't hold each other accountable because when you try to hold each other accountable, you end up fighting, then get a very close, trusted friend who can help you hold each other accountable, who can be that third voice and say, look, this is what you guys agreed on. This is what you guys need to do. Instead of having a fight all the time about your finances. And here's the main reason we do all of this. When we talk about giving, or when I talk to you about sacrificial giving, like I told you a minute ago, it's all based out of what Jesus has done for us. Because God teaches in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Apostle Paul says, look, when it comes to giving, here's what you need to understand. That your King, Jesus Christ, though he was rich, think about that, he was rich. He is the King of heaven, sat on a royal throne, the rightful king, more wealthy than any king who has ever lived. The Apostle Paul says, though he was rich, he became poor for your sake, so that you could become rich. My friends, when we give, when we honor God and honor Jesus, it is a demonstration to the world that we believe Jesus is our King, who didn't hold his wealth over us, but yet gave it all away so that he could bring us up and make us co-heirs with him. Amen? My friends, when you give, that's why you give, because Jesus has given you so much more than we could ever dare to dream, think, or imagine. And that is why I want to encourage you. Look, I want this for you. I want you to invest in 30 million years from now, when you will see Jesus do things in your life that you have never thought of, you have never dreamed, and you have never imagined. You can't take it with you, but you can send it ahead. If you will, bow your head and close your eyes. First, I want to speak to those of you who have never made Jesus the Savior of your life. And what I want you to know this morning is, look, Jesus doesn't want you to give anything this morning. He wants to give you his life this morning. And so I want to encourage you, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, right now, let's not think about money. I want you to think about your heart and surrendering your life to Jesus. And you can do that this morning by simply saying this prayer and in your own mind and in your own heart. And you just repeat these words that I'm about to say. Jesus, I'm a sinner. And Jesus, I have built up a debt that I could never pay. But Jesus, I believe you paid all of it. And Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me. And Jesus, I believe you 3 days later, you came to life and were resurrected. And Jesus, now I believe you are in heaven. And Jesus, you are God. And so Jesus, I give you my life. Jesus, I thank you for forgiving me of my sin, and thank you for setting me free. Jesus, I gladly give you my life, and I gladly take yours, and I thank you for loving me. If you prayed that prayer this morning with every head bowed and eyes closed, nobody's looking around, not even me. This is just you and God talking here right now. I just want you to put your hand in the air, and that's just you saying, God, I surrender to you, and I'm reaching out to you. And the Bible teaches and promises you that when you reach out to God, he will draw you close to himself and give you and show you things that you never thought were possible. God, I pray for all of us. God, I pray that we would realize how sacrificial you have been towards us. God, I pray we would be people who love you, and God, who joyfully give. Father, may you work in our lives in ways that we never thought possible. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.